Ring of Fire on Air America Radio Network.
Sinclair Broadcasting owns 62 TV stations across this country, reaching about one quarter of all the television households. Why is that scary? It's scary because the honchos at Sinclair have a far, far right agenda, and they have no qualms about pushing it at the expense of journalistic integrity. Our next guest is Ted Remington. He's monitoring Sinclair real closely in his daily blog, especially their so-called political commentator. He's this guy named Mark Hyman. So, Ted, you have a blog called The Counterpoint. Tell us about The Counterpoint.
The Counterpoint is just a blog that I've started. Actually, it's been going for about 6 months or so now. And basically, the idea is to, on more or less a daily basis, write a critique slash response to whatever Mark Hyman says on his commentaries the evening before. It's not strictly just a counterpoint on the specific issue that he's touched on, but oftentimes it's sort of a deconstruction or taking a part of the way he's made his argument, talking about places where he's simplified issues, distorted things, or just flat-out lied sometimes, and in doing so to sort of offer a counterpoint, literally, to what he's saying on the air.
Your training is in rhetoric, isn't it?
Got my PhD at the University of Iowa in Communication Studies, and my main area of teaching is in rhetoric. I'm a rhetorical scholar by training. Yeah.
Well, you're certainly able to use Mark Hyman as an example of everything you should not do.
Exactly.
You know, the CEO of Sinclair Broadcasting was named Business Week's worst corporate manager of 2004.
And he sure was.
Yeah, you look at the stock value history, and you just kind of you look at what this nutcase has done to the company over the last year or so. And I mean, anybody with stock in this company needs to be shaking their head and saying, you know, something's wrong here. What is wrong?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, you'd think that a business, no matter how much of an ideologue the guy in charge is, would eventually say, well, the bottom line is the bottom line, and so we better shape up. But it seems like in the case of David Smith and the folks at Sinclair that really they're putting politics ahead of anything, because the first big dive their stock took was in May after the whole Nightline debacle when Ted Koppel wanted to show the pictures and names of the soldiers who had died in Iraq and Afghanistan, and Sinclair wouldn't let its ABC affiliates run that show, and the stock went down. And then the second big dive it took was when the whole Stolen Honor thing came about during the campaign, when they wanted to run this sort of hit piece on John Kerry and call it news, and it took another huge dive then. And it seems like they just don't learn, that they just keep, you know, running this into the ground. And again, you'd think that at some point they would say, look, this isn't working.
We're doing something wrong here.
Yeah, you know, yeah. The bottom line would become the bottom line. But for them, it really is, it seems like politics is sort of their job one for them. And their donations prove it. I mean, they give all of their money to Republicans, not hardly a cent to Democrats.
Well, you know, the problem over at Sinclair right now is that what they do is they take a guy like Hyman, and they take his commentaries, and they'll plug him in between sports and weather. Usually you'll see Hyman in these very small towns. I mean,
right.
He'll appear in very small markets. So, and the people in those communities think, well, this guy just lives right here in our community. But
exactly.
The truth is, it's produced up in Baltimore. It's forced on the affiliate. The affiliate doesn't even have any choice. For example, if the affiliate says no, there's big problems that they have to face with this Papa John David Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I mean, the problem with it, people, it's actually sold as news, and it's sold as the local guy talking, when nothing's further from the truth, is it?
Well, that's the whole way that Sinclair operates. That's their business model, is to buy up local stations, often in small markets, gut the local news staff, usually, and replace it with this sort of one-size-fits-all broadcast. Much of it is sort of prefabricated spots that they do out in Baltimore. And then, yeah, Hyman shows up. And the first time I saw him, though, I was scratching my head going, how on earth is this guy on? You know, who is he? Where is he from? And I assumed that he was also a local guy from our local station here in eastern Iowa. And then the first thing that bugged me was just sort of his demeanor didn't seem local. It didn't seem quite right. And so I began doing some digging. And sure enough, it turns out that, you know, all he is a vice president with no journalistic experience whatsoever, who's, because his company owns the station that I happen to watch, he gets to force his political views on me. But that's just sort of the way, that's not just true with the point, that's the whole way Sinclair operates. This is sort of present this faux local news, which, you know, they want people to assume that it's local when it's not. That's the whole way they operate.
Yeah, one big problem when you have look at what's happening in the area of journalism right now, you almost have to ask your questions about who's paying for this. Where's the money going?
Yeah.
For example, I mean, you look at the Armstrong-Williams issue. You've got Sinclair now is carrying 51 stations, I think. You've still got Armstrong-Williams on the air. When you look at Sinclair, that's the thing that comes to my mind the most, is it's just a little bit too good to be true that everything they're talking about has to do with a Republican agenda.
Yeah, and it's not even just a Republican agenda. It's almost always the specific Bush administration agenda. If you compare what Mark Hyman says on his commentaries, for example, with whatever seems to be the Republican talking points of the day for the administration, it's almost like a one-to-one correlation. They're almost exactly in step. I don't really have a problem with Sinclair having their own political beliefs. That's fine. But the thing is when they force them on stations and pay no attention to the local markets whatsoever, that's really disturbing. And in terms of the quid pro quo, which you're talking about with the Armstrong-Williams thing, I'm not an investigative reporter. I haven't dug into that. I don't know what the situation is. But what I can say is that there's already really a quid pro quo going on between Sinclair and the Bush administration. That is, Sinclair is making a lot of money buying up not just local stations, but buying up multiple stations in the same market, which is a result of the FCC loosening regulation standards on ownership of local stations. And so even if the Bush administration isn't cutting a check to David Smith, the owner of Sinclair, there's already this sort of relationship of, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, between Sinclair and the Republican administration in power now.
We're talking with Ted Remington about the Sinclair Broadcast Group, and we'll be back with Ted right here after the break. Right now, we're back with Ted Remington, who writes the daily blog Counterpoint, where he exposes the far right-wing propaganda that's put out by Sinclair Broadcast Group on its TV stations every day all over this country. The other problem is when you look at what Sinclair stands for, you listen to Mark Hyman, he's always spouting these family values issues. That's kind of his thing. But then you take a look at the CEO of the company, David Smith, has lived anything but family values. I mean, we investigated the fact that David Smith was actually arrested for prostitution, being a John in a prostitution case.
I didn't really want to write about that at first. Then I began noticing how often Mark Hyman would invoke this idea of someone's character having an impact on the quality of their political views. For example, he loves to attack Hollywood and suggests that celebrities have all these broken marriages and how dare they air their political views when they don't even have their own houses in order. I wanted to be careful about not sort of sinking to their level and attacking people personally just for the sake of attacking them personally, which is what Hyman does on an almost nightly basis, it seems, for against the people he disagrees with. As I say, when you start invoking morality as being some sort of litmus test for the validity of your political opinions, then you have to be able to say that you want to be judged by those same standards yourself.
Matter of fact, right now I'm trying to get information on that cadaver covered in clown makeup named Ann Coulter.
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to find out whether there's any connections between her and Republican money, and I'd like to find out as much as we can about these issues, because I think it's an important issue right now about those types of cases. Certainly in your process of blogging, in your process of following these issues, I hope you'll stay in touch with us on things like that.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to say also, from those of us locally who've been trying to fight this force called Sinclair and educate people about it, we're just ecstatic that you guys are staying on the case with this, because, a lot of us were worried that after the election things would sort of quiet down and people would sort of lose interest. It's more important than ever for us to keep our eyes on the ball. Conservative demagogues owning the airwaves, so we're very happy that you folks at Air America are taking on Sinclair and keeping on the case.
Yeah, one other thing I wanted to ask you about. One of our investigators said that, I guess he'd talked to you, that after we aired our first segment on Unfiltered, a segment called Pap Attack, and we talked about you and your blog, you got a telephone call from Sinclair. Tell us about that call.
Yeah, I got an email, actually, from a guy named Barry Faber, who's one of the many vice presidents and chief legal counsel of Sinclair. And he emailed me and asked me to call him back. He said, I'd like to talk to you about these editorials you're writing. Basically, he wanted to know, first of all, who I was and why I was doing what I was doing. He wanted to know if I was involved with Media Matters or Sinclair Action or any of these organized groups. And I told him, well, not really. I read those folks, and I will post to their websites once in a while. It's just sort of something that I started on my own. He said, and if, you know, no promises, but, you know, we could link to your website, and if we got a good response to that, who knows, maybe we could start taping your comments and putting it on TV. So it's sort of, you know, threatening me with assimilation kind of thing. And he said, you know, we've been thinking about having a liberal commentator, a national liberal commentator on to give a counterpoint, but, you know, I think we might be nice to get somebody fresh, somebody new. And, you know, Lana Turner was discovered in, you know, a Schweppes drugstore in Hollywood. And, you know, who knows, maybe, so it was, you know, probably the first and last time in my life that I'll ever be compared to Lana Turner. But, yeah.
Well, look, we appreciate your time.
Thanks from everyone out here in Sinclair country for keeping your eyes on us. We really appreciate it.
All right, Ted.
Thanks much.
Ted Remington's blog is at thecounterpoint.blogspot.com. And while you're at it, you might want to look at Sinclair Broadcast Group's website to find out whether they own a TV station that you might be watching. Beware the brainwashing if they do.